Well, as Gary just mentioned, my name is Carolyn Thompson. I have two children that attended here at Stony Brook Kindergarten through eighth grade, and now they're grown adults. My daughter's a high school math teacher. My son is a firefighter. He's married and has three children of his own. But while they were here at Stony Brook, I worked in the office with Sherry. My husband served on the board, and even though it's been many, many years since our kids graduated, Stony Brook has a very special place in our heart and always will. And it's just been so fun that after all these years, I've been able to come back this last past year and be in this Tuesday morning Bible study. Well, as Sherry mentioned last week, she's traveling in Memphis, and so she asked if I would fill in for her, and I was happy to do so. We'll be back in Daniel next week when she's here. But this morning, I'm just going to share a real short teaching on something that the Lord's doing in my life and he's put on my heart to share with you today. And if you didn't get them, there are notes in the back outline. Okay, well, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to come as women, to be still for a moment, to share our lives together, but mostly, Lord, to hear from your word. I just pray, Lord, that you would speak to each woman's heart here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, all of us are probably familiar with a waiting room. And when I say the word waiting room, what comes to mind? For most of us, it's a doctor's office. It might even be the smaller waiting room down the hall from an operating room. Maybe the lobby of emergency. Usually not too much fun. The only fun kind of lobby I can think of, a waiting room, is maybe the waiting room that you're in there before you go in for a massage or a pedicure. That's not what we're talking about today. What do you see in that waiting room? Usually there's chairs, maybe a TV monitor, lots of magazines. Yeah, it's the idea, sit down, you're going to be here a while. And what do you feel? What are some of the emotions in a waiting room? Is there weariness? I can't believe the kids are sick again. Back in this waiting room. Maybe there's anxiety. Maybe you're in the waiting room because you're waiting for a test result. Maybe even heartache or grief as the doctor comes down the hall from the operating room. Well, ladies, as you come in this morning, how are you feeling? And what emotions are you going through? What is God doing in your life right now? Have you been carrying a heavy burden so long that, you know, you're just weary? You're just worn out. Do you have an unanswered prayer request, a prayer that you've been praying for so long, but deep down, you're just ready to give up? God's never going to answer that prayer. Or you might be going along, things are great. You might be headed in a direction that you think is of the Lord, maybe serving in a ministry or working on some volunteer projects here, using your gifts and abilities, maybe being stretched and growing, and boom, all of a sudden there's a closed door, a wall in fact. And a sudden change of plans. Well, if you can relate to any of this morning, God wants to say to you, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. My child, it's okay. Be still and know that I am God. Because you might just find that you're in God's waiting room. God's used this analogy of a waiting room, this word picture, of being in God's waiting room over the course of the years many times in my life. The first time was over 25 years ago. I was a young mom. My daughter Karen had just been born, and she contracted pertussis, whooping cough. Babies don't get their first vaccine until they're 8 weeks old, and it's an airborne disease, and probably around the time she was 2 weeks old, contracted whooping cough. And because she was so little, as an infant and newborn, you know, attached to the respiratory system, and she would begin to cough, she couldn't get her air, she would stop breathing and she turned away. And she was rushed to Children's Hospital in Orange and admitted to ICU. Unfortunately, there's no treatment and there's no medication for whooping cough. They have to just let the disease run its course. And of course, she had to be in the hospital because many, many times throughout the day, she would have these coughing attacks. She wouldn't be able to breathe. She'd stop breathing, turn blue, and she'd have to be suctioned and then get an oxygen to breathe. And in order to go home, she had to go a certain amount of days without having any blue episodes, any times where she needed the help of the oxygen. And we would get right to the last day, and we'd think, oh, I get to go home tomorrow. And she'd have another attack. And we'd have to start the clock all over again. A friend was visiting me, and she sensed my frustration, and she looked at me and she said, "Carolyn, you're in God's waiting room." And those words washed over me. They were so simple and, of course, so obvious, but they really ministered to my heart that day because she was right. I was in God's waiting room. And I had to surrender to God's plan and God's timing in my life, God's time frame. And he used this time in the waiting room to slow me down, to get my attention, and to speak to me in some important ways. We were a busy family at the time. I had an 18-month-old son at home during this time. My husband and I were both very busy in ministry in our churches, in our church, and him, of course, in his career. And it's an amazing thing that while you're sitting in a hospital room, you feel like your life is on hold and the world's just continuing. And it's amazing, it didn't fall apart. Our ministries kept going, and funny thing, God could handle everything all on his own. But more importantly, he was able to show himself faithful to us in so many ways, day after day, on those long days in the hospital. And our faith and our trust in his plans for us were strengthened. God always uses our struggles and our hurts to grow us. Another waiting room experience is, I've been praying for my dad's salvation since I was a teenager. I prayed so long, so many ways, and so intent for so long that sometimes I have to admit, I think deep down, I've given up. Is God ever going to answer that prayer? From the cries of a young girl's heart who just desperately wanted a Christian family, to the prayers of an adult woman who so clearly sees how miserable and lost we are without the Lord. I just want him so much to know God's love in his life. I'm in God's waiting room, and I'm learning the prayer of perseverance. Many, many times over the course of the years, there's been these waiting room experiences. But most recently, things are great. I'm serving in a ministry I love. I was using my gifts and abilities. I was being stretched and challenged and really felt like I was growing and loving the people I ministered with, and things were great. And slam. Through a series of circumstances and format changes, God closed the door of that ministry to me. Okay, well, that's cool. He closes that door, I'm sure he's got something else. Hey, this could be exciting, man. New adventures, new challenges. Lord, where are we going? What are we going to do? Why are you going to use me? But surprisingly enough, as I prayed and sought his will in my life, the only answer that came back to me was, wait. Take a step back, be still, and know that I'm God. I don't like that. Lord, I'll do anything. What are we going to do? What's the next ministry? No, come away with me for a while. Be still, and know that I'm God. Oh, but Lord, I'll be so misunderstood. People are going to ask what ministry you're in, what leadership role I'll be doing, and, I'm just not going to have this list of how busy I am just rattle off. I know. Come away with me for a while. Are you seeking me, or are you seeking approval of your peers? Wait. Be still. But Lord, I don't like these changes. I want to go back to how things work. I miss serving with my friends. I know. I'm doing something new. Come away with me for a while. We have some business to take care of. And for the last year and a half, I've been in God's waiting room again. I'm embarrassed to tell you how I kicked and screamed going. But he let me express my confusion, pour out my heart, share my hurt, and allow me to grieve. But ultimately, God's waiting room involves surrender. It's a surrender to his will and his ways. It's a surrender or laying down of my plans for his plans. It requires an attitude of, not my will, but your will be done. Because after all, you're the master, I'm the servant. You're the potter, I'm the clay. And when we think of this waiting room idea, there's so many examples in scripture, and immediately the story of Joseph comes to mind. It's a familiar story. We know he was sold into slavery by his brothers into Egypt. He ends up in jail for a crime he didn't commit and forgotten for many years. But of course, through God's hand in his life and at the perfect timing, he was raised to power, second in command in Egypt, only the Pharaoh. And let's look in Genesis 50, 20, we have this incredibly insightful, incredibly powerful verse that Joseph, as he begins to reveal to his brothers that he is alive and who he is, he has this amazing perspective. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. God turned into good what you meant for evil. He brought me to the high position I have today so I could save the lives of many people. There's many verses in that chapter that even say that God sent me to Egypt. And even though he had this perspective of seeing it with God's hand in his life, even though it was his brothers that sinfully, wickedly sold him into slavery, he could see that all of this that he was going through was ultimately part of God's plan for him, and to be in the right place at the right time to save many lives, and ultimately to save the lives of the children of Israel from the famine. Another perspective. We also see the Apostle Paul traveling, having an amazing impact of ministry, starting churches, discipling, teaching, and towards the end of his life, he's in prison again, chained to a Roman guard. And turn in Philippians 1, 13 and 14, where he again has the perspective of seeing the results. Philippians chapter 1 says, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. And even in Paul's suffering, he could see that God was using it to further his kingdom. He was using it to encourage the believers. And of course, it's during that time that he wrote most of his letters to the churches, most of the New Testament. He had a God perspective. There's another waiting room that all of us are in. It's the waiting room waiting for Christ to return. We don't know when that's going to be. And sometimes when we see the ills of our society and the hurts and the pain around the world, we think, oh, Lord, please come. Please come soon. Maybe we're weary and waiting. And James reminds us in chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient. Stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Stand firm. Be patient. Well, so most of us are going to find that we're in a waiting room at some point in our lives. What do we do while we're in the waiting room? And how do we make the most of this waiting room experience? Well, first let me say it's not a formula. Nothing in our relationship with the Lord is a matter of a canned checklist. He's too personal a God. He speaks too intimately and too specifically to each of us for that. But as we think about the waiting room, there's some things we can consider. First of all, be still. Be still and know that I'm God, Psalm 46:10 says. And that be still there means cease from striving. You know, just sit down. It also means acknowledge who he is. Trust his sovereignty. Know not only who he is, but know factually and by experience who he is, his character, and his past faithfulness. It helps us to trust him in the current situation when we can see how faithful he has been in the past. Isaiah 55:8 says, my thoughts are completely different than your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. We often don't understand what God is doing because his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are so much more above ours. And he's doing things that we would never even imagine so much better, because he is God and we're not. The waiting room is also a great time to spend that extra time seeking God himself, not just for answered prayer or for direction, but to seek to know and love him more. Just that relationship with him, just to know and love him more. Number two is a time to reflect on our relationship with God. Is there a need for confession? Do we need an attitude adjustment, a new perspective, maybe a habit we haven't dealt with? Psalms 139:23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. You know, this current waiting room, the Lord needed to deal with my an issue of pride in my life, a critical spirit and humility. My ranting and questioning of God revealed my sinful heart. Did I really care about his kingdom and the bigger picture? Or was I only concerned with myself, with your perspective of how these changes affected me? There almost needed to be a stripping away, so to speak, of title and position and even friendships to see if the Lord alone is enough. Is my relationship with God based on what I do for him? Or is it based on who he is and who I am in him? In a sense, can I come to him empty-handed and still feel love and acceptance? Or am I trying to earn his love? Because in reality, I bring nothing of eternal value on my own. It's only what he does through me that lasts. So ultimately, do I trust his ability to fill my needs for love and approval and acceptance? But it was also during this time that I had some of the most intimate, special, quiet times with the Lord. I love to spend time with the Lord outside in my yard, and I have a chair that looks over trees, and there's birds, and I have a fountain. And it's in those times where I can sit and be still, where he's been so sweet. The time to seek, to spend time in his word, and to pray, and to worship him. Number three, while we're in the waiting room, we need to wait patiently. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Psalms 37:7. I'm not very patient. I like the lessons to be learned and the character to be developed. Right, like, well, let's get this taken care of. Joseph was in the waiting room for a long time. He waited a long time for God to act to fulfill the vision that he'd given him way back when he was a boy. God is often not in a hurry like we are. But his timing is always perfect, and we need to surrender to his plans and his timing and to be patient. He also wants us to wait expectantly. I have several verses here. Psalms 5:3. Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my request to you and wait expectantly. Hear my cry, O Lord. I'm counting on the Lord. Yes, I'm counting on him. I've put my hope in his word. The familiar verse from Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all my heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will direct your path. And from Psalm 33, we depend on the Lord alone to save us. Only he can help us, protecting us like a shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we are trusting in his holy name. All those verses have a sense of putting our eggs in one basket, and it's the Lord's. There is no plan B. We are waiting on him. We are expecting him to answer and to act. As we come to him in prayer to seek to know and more in his word, we need to come with expectation that God is listening. He will speak to us through his word. He will answer. But of course, it's always according to his timing, his plans, his purposes, his will. We also need to wait in faith. Faith in God's goodness and love for us. Psalms 84:12 says, for the Lord God is our light and protector. He gives us grace and glory. No good thing will the Lord withhold from those who do what is right. O Lord Almighty, happy are those who trust in you. And the Lamentations, the unfailing love of the Lord never ends. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin fresh each day. The Lord is wonderfully good to those who wait for him and seek him. So it's a faith that God's plans for us are good. Each time in the waiting room is really a test of faith, isn't it? Do I really believe that God is who he says he is? Do I believe he's in control? Do I really believe that he's acting in love toward me? Do I really believe he will provide? And do I have enough faith to surrender my plans to his plans for me? It's a test. He also wants us to give thanks. We need to develop an attitude of gratitude, find something to thank God for every day, even when the waiting room hardest and the darkest, we have something that we can thank him for being with us. Thank God in advance for what he'll do and how he will answer. 1 Thessalonians reminds us to be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And when we get this habit of thanking God, even in the midst of difficult circumstances, you'll be amazed at how this changes our focus and lifts our hearts. And of course, God wants us to pray. Not be anxious, but pray. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious but about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If you're worried or anxious, it's a sign that you're not praying enough. Even in the midst of these difficult circumstances, you can have God's peace. And you know, it's interesting, during this recent time of waiting for me, my daughter-in-law went through a very difficult pregnancy. My son and his wife have twins under the age of two, and she had this pregnancy where she was sick most of the time, on modified bed rest. She needed a lot of help, and God used me to save my family. What a privilege. What a thankful place to be in my grandkids' life that way at this time when she needed so much help. And now she has a newborn and twins that are two. She still needs a lot of help. And I'm thankful to be there to do that. He also used me during this time to encourage a friend, walk beside her when she's going through some very difficult life circumstances. And he continued to use me to serve and encourage a Kenyan pastor. Husband and I traveled to Kenya last August to minister in his five churches in a very rural area of Africa and had the opportunity to stay with him and his family in a mud hut. What an opportunity. Incredible opportunity and blessing. And many, many other blessings during that time. God is faithful. God can be trusted. His plans and his timing are best. Let me ask you, are you in the waiting room today? If you are, surrender your plans to his. Acknowledge that he's God and that you're not. Trust that he is in control. Reflect on your relationship with him. Take time. Be patient. God's working even when we can't see it. Wait expecting God to answer and to act. Wait with faith. Trusting that God's plans for us are good and loving. Develop that attitude of gratitude, thanking God in everything, and pray, pray, pray without ceasing. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for waiting room experiences. Thank you that there are times we need to just be still and know that you're God. And Lord, whatever each woman is going through today, I pray that she will know your presence in her life, and that these verses that we've looked at today would minister in her heart and encourage and teach her. In Jesus' name.